This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. It's Zoomer Radio's Theater of the Mind with Frank Proctor. Open your mind as we fill your head with amazing thrills, chills, and laughs. Theater of the Mind, the best love programs from radio's golden age, only on Zoomer Radio. Now, here is your master storyteller, Frank Proctor. It's Zoomer Radio's Theater of the Mind with Frank Proctor. Open your mind as we fill your head with amazing thrills, chills, and laughs. Theater of the Mind, the best love programs from radio's golden age, only on Zoomer Radio. Now, here is your master storyteller, Frank Proctor.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the show. At the half hour, we'll turn things over to Edgar Bergen and his little wooden friend, Charlie McCarthy, when they'll welcome guest June Allison. Now, her breakthrough was in Two Girls and a Sailor, 1944, where the studio image of The Girl Next Door was fostered by her being cast alongside longtime acting chum Van Johnson, the quintessential boy next door. As the sweetheart team, Johnson and Allison were to appear in in four films. I best remember her, actually, when she teamed up with James Stewart in three popular biographies, The Glenn Miller Story, Strategic Air Command, and The Stratton Story, for which the real-life counterparts of their characters assisted as consultants. But before we get to her work on radio with Edgar Bergen, let's go on and give our attention to Lights Out, and an episode that was first aired in 1953.
Arch Obler's Lights Out, Everybody. It is later than you think. This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now. What you're going to hear now is pure radio, not a play for a pictureless TV. It's radio about two people, one of whom may be you, in Mirage.
Linda?
Yes,
sir? I've been looking for you.
Lie for you.
Now, look, Linda, this party, it's getting a little too much for me. It's a great night. How about a little walk on the beach?
All right. But quickly, before someone changes my mind.
Get your rest?
No. No, I'll let the moonlight keep me warm.
That air's good.
Careful. Night air.
You know, I never could understand the hunters. They build this place here on the shore, and then when they give a party, they seal the windows hermetically. Here, down this path.
Yes.
Boy, that breeze off the sea is good. Don't you think so?
Frankly, Carl, I didn't come out here for the air. I've been very anxious to talk to you. Very.
That's flattering.
Won't be when you hear why I want to talk to you. Carl, I've always liked you.
And are you?
Liking you, I've tried to understand you as you are, but must you be so antisocial?
Antisocial, me?
The Rensselaers had a dinner party last night.
Oh, that. The office. I couldn't break away.
The Carters were expecting you the night before last at the theater.
Linda, I'm a businessman.
Carl, you can't disappoint people continually and expect them to have any regard for you.
My friends know I'm a busy man.
You and I belong to a set that demands certain social obligations from us.
I wonder if you know how pompous that sounds.
Pompous or not, it's the truth. Oh, Carl, You can't just ignore social obligations.
I'm here, am I not? Ocean's rather calm, isn't it?
They were talking about you only last week at the Pages.
Pages? Say, J.B. made a good thing out of International Motors last week. Must have cleaned up a quarter of a million.
Someone mentioned your name, and this other person laughed and said, don't invite him unless you let him bring his stock ticker.
Idea, Matt.
I hear the same about you wherever I go, Carl. There isn't a man I know who spends as much time at work as you do.
That's what I want. Why shouldn't I?
Oh, Carl, understand me. I appreciate the importance of money. But after all, you could find time for your friends. Why do you laugh?
I just remembered why I wanted to be alone with you.
Well?
I was going to lecture you.
What?
Lecture? Really, I was. I was going to tell you that you've been burning the social candle at both ends, or words to that effect.
Really?
You are, you know. Bazaars and style shows and all that nonsense. But you took the offensive, so I forgot what I wanted to say. And that reminds me...
You're remembering a great number of things, aren't you?
Yep. One of the things was to tell you that you're looking very lovely tonight.
The man's human.
You're irritated with me, aren't you?
I am. Oh, Carl, you could be an utterly charming man if you'd forget your stocks and bonds and debentures and all the rest of that for a while and start enjoying...
Linda, now you've got me irritated. Just because my idea of living doesn't include a room full of jabbering idiots...
I think we'd better go back.
Now, wait a minute, Linda. Oh, Linda. Let's call a truce on this. After all, we're a couple of mature people. Let's act maturely and leave each other alone and enjoy the night. How about it?
Oh, you're hopeless. But, all right.
Good. We'll get off on safe subjects. The sea, the weather, the moon, June, the number of days to Christmas.
Exactly.
We'll start with the sea. Calm, isn't it?
You walk so fast, Carl, please.
No. I forgot. The sand must be ruining your slippers.
No. Beach is packed so hard. I'm quite all right. Just don't walk too fast.
Right. Fine place the Hunters have here.
They do have successful parties.
Yeah. Hunter bought this place right before 29. Understand he tried to unload it all through the Depression, but couldn't get even enough to cover the land value.
Did you hear about Ivy's debut?
Hmm?
Margaret naturally wanted to have it at the Paramount, but... Tom insisted on their country place.
Well, that's understandable. Poor Tom dropped enough in that amalgamated merger to make him re-entrench all the way around.
Oh?
Amazing. Man of his experience, not knowing that you can't disturb the capital investment of an organization without jeopardizing...
Now, just a minute, Mr. Laughlin. If you're thinking of starting on capital investments again, I'd better remind you that this conversation is limited to, remember? June. Moon.
What moon?
Well, of all the inconsiderate clouds I ever... Oh, what are you staring at?
I can't quite make out. Do you see anything down there? Near the water's edge?
Why, yes, there is something there.
It's so dark.
Carl, it moves.
I saw.
Is it a dog?
I'm not sure.
Let's go closer.
No, Linda, wait. Linda, come back.
Come quickly.
What is it?
Look, it's someone sitting on the sand.
Well, who in the world?
Oh, a drunk. Just someone who's lost his way to the bar. Come on.
Linda, wait.
No, wait for what?
I better see who it is and give him a hand.
All right. You must play the Good Samaritan. Go ahead.
I say there, fella.
What else the drunken fool doing? Digging for clams?
Have to get closer. I say there, old boy. Trying to get a little wet there when the tide comes in, aren't you?
Well, drunk and dumb.
I guess you're right.
Oh, let's go.
No, wait, please.
Why?
The moon will be out in a minute. I want to see what he's doing. Now we'll see. Why, it's an old man.
Rising in the sand.
What are you doing here?
Guess he just won't talk.
Well, how do you like that? Writing in the sand with the point of his finger.
Carl, I don't like this at all. Come away.
What is it?
Nothing. Nothing at all. If this old man wants to sit here in the dark in the sand, let him. Why does it concern us?
But what's he writing? I can't quite make out. Oh, the moon went under.
Carl, are you staying here?
Well, I'm sorry. I want to see what the man's writing. What are you writing, old man? Old man, don't you hear me talking to you?
Oh, Carl, you're being insufferable.
Linda, where's your curiosity? A deserted beach after midnight, an old man writing heaven knows what in the sand. Aren't you interested in knowing?
I'm not interested in maniacs. Who else but a psychopathic would...
Linda, wait. Wait, the moon's coming through the clouds again. Now we'll see. You see it too? He's writing names in the sand. Names of people.
Carl.
What is it, Linda?
His face.
What did you say?
Face. Did you see his face?
No, I didn't see it. Linda, what's the matter?
Face.
What about his face? There's only blasted clouds I can't see. There. Light again. There's nothing wrong with his face.
I thought...
Just an old man, must be a gardener, writing names in the sand.
I want to know who he is.
Well, now you're curious.
I want to know who he is, Carl.
And I'm certainly going to find out. Old man, we insist on knowing who you are. Do you hear me, old man? We insist. No attention, must be death.
Clouds covering the moon. Sea so green. Even in the night. Carl, I'm cold. Let's go in.
If that isn't like a woman. One minute you're curious and the next minute you're cold. Moon's bright now. Look. Look. You can see some of the names he's writing. John Barclay, March 2nd, 1939. Well, that's today. Well, how do you like that? He wiped the name out, and he's writing another one.
James Ellison, March 2nd, 1939.
Wipe that out. Writing another one.
Name after name.
But why? Old man, can you hear me? Why?
What would he say?
He's certainly not drunk. Eyes so bright, so intent on his work. And what work?
Carl, don't laugh.
What did you say?
He seems so busy.
Linda, what is there about this old man that disturbs you? I think he's funny.
Carl.
A dirty little unshaven old man crouched over writing names in the sand with a point of his finger. That's a serious career, isn't
it? Carl, no.
A career for one's old age. No overhead, no competition, no profit. Sit in the open air and write in the sands of time. Linda, I tell you, when I get too old for Wall Street, I think I'll join this old
Carl.
Man. And... Huh?
Look. Your name. He's writing your name.
Well, what do you know about...
C.A.
The old fraud can hear.
Ah.
Must have overheard you say my name.
Carl. Your last name. He's writing that, too.
But that's impossible. He doesn't know...
He is writing it. L. A. You.
He doesn't know.
Gee.
Who I?
How slowly he formed each letter.
How does he know? Why does he write?
Carl, what is it?
I don't know. I feel sick.
Carl!
Don't let me fall.
Oh, man, help me!
My moon.
No.
I can't breathe.
Carl, I can't let you up. Oh, help me. Someone help me breathe.
Carl, you're standing up again.
I feel all right.
What happened? Why did you frighten me so?
My name. In the sand. Where?
Sif. He came in and wiped it out before he finished.
Old man, why did you write my name? How'd you know who I was? Answer me, why did you write my name?
What difference does that make, Carl? You're ill. Let's get back to the house.
No, I feel fine. Sudden dizziness, but I'm all right. I want to know how and why they don't...
He's writing again.
L. I. N. Your name.
Yes.
D. A.
Carl, take me home.
Wait, he can't possibly know your last name. J. E. F. He does know it.
Carl, please, I don't...
F. E. R. Writing so slowly, as if he wasn't quite sure. But he does know it. Linda, how in the world do you imagine he knows... Linda.
Carl. Help me.
Linda, what is it?
Hold me.
Yes, I'm holding you. Linda, in heaven's name, what is it?
My heart. Falling.
Linda.
Falling.
Linda.
Falling.
Linda.
Carl. Why are you holding me in your arms?
You were ill. Fainting.
What are you talking about?
Are you joking?
What is there to joke about? Carl, please let go of me.
All right.
Oh, yes, my name. He was writing my name.
Yes.
Where is it? Sam. He's writing another name. Where's mine?
That wave. Must have washed it out before he finished.
I remember now. My heart. I couldn't see. Darkness. I was falling.
Yes. Falling.
Your face so white. Carl, why?
As you wrote my name, I felt as if I were dying.
No.
And then you. You felt that way too as you wrote your name, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
How cold it is here.
How cold?
Still writing.
Oh, no.
The moon.
Carl. Stay by me.
Yes.
Still there?
Darker than the darkness.
I can't stand it anymore. Oh, man, who are you? Oh.
Linda, stay away from him. Don't.
Oh.
Linda. Linda. What is it?
No one. What? No one. Here.
But he was here. I saw him.
Come. Go find him. I've got to know.
Old man! Where are you? Old man!
He's there. Fall down the beach.
We've got to catch him. Come. Old man! Wait! Old man!
Old man, wait! Wait, I beg you,
old man, wait! I want to talk to you. No one.
I thought...
There he is.
Where?
The other way, at the edge of the water. Old man! Wait, old man!
Wait for me, Carl! Wait! Carl! Why did you stop?
No one. I thought I saw. But there's no one.
Oh, no!
If only the moon came out again.
Find me for me, Carl. Find me for me.
You blasted moon, get out! Come out!
Oh, man.
Linda.
What?
Linda.
You laughing?
Yes, of course I'm laughing. What we just heard. The wind. Our friends back at the house.
Friends?
Yes, friends. That wind and the sound of them talking, it cleared my head. I must have been out of my head all this time. And you too, Linda.
Our friends?
Yes. Yes, our friends. Back there, only a few hundred feet from here. Lights and music and reality.
This hasn't been reality?
Linda, all my life I've been a practical man. My life has been like my business. Everything has had debits and credits. This that's been happening to us, my head's clear now. I can think of it in practical terms.
Tell me.
We met an old man writing in the sand.
He wrote my name.
And mine, too. All that was real enough. Now then, how did he know our name?
Yes.
Simple enough. You and I are not unknown. He must have been an old gardener on the estate here. Yes, that's it. He heard of us and then heard us call each other by our given names. And so he knew the rest of it.
But when he wrote our names...
Yes, I know the dizziness. It's all quite easily explained. Back in the house, the air was bad. We came outside, both of us nerves on edge, too much fresh air. Dizziness followed, and... Oh, why talk about it anymore? Let's go back to the house.
Yes, Carl. Yes, quickly.
Now, careful, not so fast you'll fall.
I'm all right. Faster, Carl. I want to get back.
A drink, that's what I need. A drink of two or three, a dozen.
So very dark.
Infernal clouds. Let's stay along the water's edge. Easier to walk.
Yes.
Fantasy in the night, that's all it was. We let our imaginations run away with it. Imagine things that didn't exist.
Oh.
Why do you stop? Why are you pointing?
He's writing again. He's there. Writing again.
Old man. Old man!
Carl! Don't leave me. Oh, God, it's so dark. Carl!
Gone. Again. Gone again.
Get me back to the house quickly. Oh, quickly, don't stand there. We'll run.
Wait. The moon. Shining down so strangely. Everything's so strange.
So strange?
Yes.
Ah. At the edge of the water.
What?
Our names.
Our
names. Our names in the sand. See them.
Yes.
There's a deep written after my name.
And after mine.
I can't see the deep. What?
A wave. It's coming. Linda, come back.
No. I've got to
Linda.
See. Oh.
I did. Too.
The date when I...
The date when I...
Oh, no.
No. No, it isn't true. It isn't. A date written in the sand, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Does it, Linda?
I didn't think it would be so soon.
You, me?
Yes.
I do too, somehow.
But, just soon.
No. No, I won't believe. I won't. I'm going to live a long time, 50, 60 more years. My family, they live long lives. My father, my grandfather, this can't be true.
Carl, don't be so afraid.
You're not.
I am. And yet, somehow it's wonderful.
Wonderful?
Yes. Wonderful. What every person in the world wants to know. We know. You and I.
It'll be spring that year. When I...
No. No, don't think of it that way. The wonder of it, Carl. Think of that.
I've never thought much about the wonder of things.
Oh, how good the air is. Like wine. I've heard them call it that. I never believed a breath could be so wonderful.
If a man planned every minute that was left, how much he could do.
That's why I say it's wonderful, Carl. I know what I have left. I can plan the days, the hours, live each one because I know just how many of them I have. Carl, oh, Carl, I'm almost happy now.
Happy?
Yes. Yes, why not? Now I'll do the things I've wanted to do. Yes. Every one. I never really wanted that.
But you always...
Because that was the path my mother had gone. The one she led me to. But all the time, the snobbery of money. Those silly little family destinies. I wasn't happy. Because it wasn't what I really wanted. I knew that. But I went on because... Because always there was a tomorrow. I said to myself, tomorrow, some new tomorrow, I'll start the life I want. I didn't know. But now I know my tomorrow's come. I've got to start now. And so I will. And so I'm happy.
What?
A child, Carl. Yes. I want a child. Yes. I've said what I never thought to say. How I used to laugh at people with their children, such clever, brittle things. And all the time my heart was in my eyes. A child. On the wheel.
Yes.
It's the music of the night, Carl. Look up. Stars are safe. They know I'm free. For a little while, I'm free. And you, Carl? What will you do?
I? What will I do?
Yes. What will you do tomorrow morning?
I? Tomorrow morning, I'll go back to my business, of course.
My business? No. No.
Carl. You're holding me.
Yes, Linda. Linda, you and I, we've got to be together.
Oh, Carl.
You're right. There can be happiness here. For these days and months were free. I have never been free, have I? The cage of my business, money. I am free now. Yes, I am. Travel, Linda, you and I. The world. We'll climb up to these singing stars of yours. When I was a boy, I always thought I'd do that. Travel. Travel. Free. This little world, all of it, mine to know and have. I thought there was plenty of time to start. Tomorrow, there'd always be a tomorrow for me. Yes, I was immortal. I thought that, really. Most of us do, don't we? Everybody else in the world would live their lives and die, but I... Always inside of me, I thought I'd live forever, and so I climbed into a cage and stayed there.
Oh, you're holding me so close.
You and I, Linda, together. Free until that day. Say it. Say it.
Oh, my dear. Why did it take death to teach us how to live?
It is later than you think.
Well, as promised, here comes June Allison as she guest stars with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Coca-Cola brings you Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy. Sunday night, and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy. With Mortimer Sturd and Ray Noble in his orchestra, and the Mellow Men brought to you each week by the Coca-Cola Company. Tonight's special guest is the lovely lady of the screen, Miss June Allison. And now, Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
I know, honey, but I gotta hang up now, my kumquat. Yes. Oh, they've announced me.
Charlie, get off that telephone.
Yeah. Did you get your allowance, babe? Oh, good. Now you can take me out tonight.
Really, Charlie?
So long, my tangerine. I'll be squeezing you.
Charlie, I just couldn't help overhearing your conversation.
Why? Was the extension phone caught in your ear?
No, no. I can't believe that you talk to a girl that way. Who is she?
Well, let's just say she's a good skate, what pays the freight.
Oh, I see. I can't understand this younger generation. Why, when I was growing up, everybody was a gentleman.
You mean there weren't any women at all?
Oh. Sure. I mean, we acted like gentlemen.
Oh.
Apparently, you don't know what a gentleman is.
Oh, sure. A gentleman is a wolf with patience.
All right. Charlie, next...
Well?
Next time you see this girl of yours...
Yes?
Why don't you try talking about music and art and... why don't you quote poetry?
Oh, no. No, I tell you, Bergen, girls don't take that kind of punishment today.
Oh, they don't. Well, you just try it and see what she does.
I know what she'll do. She'll conk me on the head with her baseball bat. Yeah.
Her baseball bat?
Yeah, sure. She's Homicida Ida.
Oh, she is?
Yes. She's the catcher on our baseball team.
Oh, some girl.
You can say it.
Yes.
Strong as an ox.
Yeah.
And twice as pretty.
Oh, yes, times have changed.
Yeah.
Charlie, I want to remind you that June Allison is coming by to see us, and I wish you'd remember your party manners.
Did you say June Allison?
Yes.
All right. Now, there is my big moment.
Yeah.
You know, she's just as cute as a button.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to get my button hooks on her.
All right. I want you to think of yourself as a gallant knight. And conduct yourself as one of King Arthur's men. Now, those were wonderful days.
Were you happy then, Bergen?
Oh, I wasn't born then.
Oh, look, I see June Allison headed this way. Oh, my heart is turning a handspring.
Here we are, Junie.
Hello, Edgar.
Hello, Charlie. Oh.
Junie, it's good to see you.
Yeah, we were just talking about romance and chivalry, you know. Tell me, do you feel spoony, Junie?
That I do, Goonie.
All right, June. I was telling Charlie if he would conduct himself as a knight of King Arthur's time, he would be the most popular boy at school.
You are absolutely right, Edgar. I'm sure everyone would think that
I was nuts.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Hmm?
It would not fit in with our times. But I would have adored living in those days with all the knights in their shining armor.
Well, what was so great about that?
Well, it would have been so much fun shopping for canned goods.
Why?
Well, in those days, even the men were put up in tins.
Oh. Jude.
You're ashamed, aren't you, now?
told you not to say. Soon I remember seeing you in the MGM picture. What was the name of that MGM picture? Men put up in tins. No. That one will live to haunt you. All right. Oh, I know that picture, Words and Music. You know, where you did a very clever little scene. It was two knights in armor, and you sang Thou Swell or something.
Yes, that's right. It was about a knight making love to his lady fair.
Yeah,
with a modern touch.
Yeah, I remember that. I know how the song goes. It goes, Thou Swell.
No, Johnny, it goes like this.
You're interrupting me.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, would kiss me pretty, would hold my hand, for thine eyes are kissing, what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lullabalooser thee. I'd feel so rich in a hutch for two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of, not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand. Thou swell,
thou witty,
thou sweet,
thou grand,
would kiss me pretty,
would hold my hand,
but thine eyes are cute too, what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lullabalooser in thee.
You're my sweet lullabalooser, I feel so rich in the tiny little planter's hut for two.
Two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do.
Give me just a pot of,
not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand. How do you like my voice, Charlie?
Well, I think it's very...
Yeah, well, so do I. I've been told that I have the range of Lily Pons and the vivacity of Mary Martin. Do you think so?
Well,
I don't think so either.
No. You know, you've got me kind of interested in that King Arthur stuff.
Say, I have an idea, Charlie.
Yeah?
The museum has a wonderful display in their armor room. Let's go and see it.
Now, that is a splendid idea. Now, you two go ahead and I'll meet you at the museum.
Oh, boy.
Well, Mortimer, how do you find yourself these days?
Well, most of the days I just don't bother to.
I'm on my way to the museum with Charlie.
Well?
Yes.
Listen.
Oh? Yes. Have you ever been there?
Where?
To the museum.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, how did you like it?
The what?
The museum.
Oh, the museum. Well, I reckon it'll be all right when they get all that junk cleaned out of there.
What did you enjoy most at the museum?
Sliding down the long banister out front.
All right. I mean, what did you get from your visit?
Splinters,
I mean. Well, now, you might get something more out of it if you come along with us. You know, I understand the museum is adding a new wing.
Well, that won't do much good.
Why?
They'll never get it off the ground.
Oh. Why don't you come with us and go through the museum again?
No. I ain't never going there no more.
No.
Oh, yes, you will. Oh, no, I don't think I will. Wild horseradishes couldn't drag me.
Exactly. What's wrong with the museum?
Well, it's too dangerous. Last time I was there, I seen a fellow that was hurt so bad that they had him bandaged from his head clear down to... down to those... from his head down to... Oh, what is the name of those things that live in shoes? Oh.
Feet?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Well, what about it?
Well, this poor fellow looked like he was blindfolded all over.
Is that so? Yeah. Now, wait a minute, Mortimer. Just where did you see this bandaged-up man?
Well, he was leaning against the wall in the gypsy section.
You mean in the Egyptian section?
Well, that's what I said.
All right.
I talked to him, but his mind, you know, is a little wandering, I see. I tried to get his mind off his injuries, but he was kind of closed-mouthed.
He didn't say much.
No, he didn't say much. No, didn't say much at all. Conversation sort of drug. Yeah.
Well, Mortimer, you were talking to a mummy.
I was?
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to help him.
I know. But I'm afraid you were too late to help him. About 4,000 years too late.
Well, I got there as soon as I could.
Mortimer, I'm trying to tell you that bandaged man is completely ossified.
Well, can you blame him for taking a nip like that?
Taking a nip?
Yeah. To sort of blunt the pain?
Blunt the pain, yeah. Well, he was in no pain because he was dead. Now, let me explain about mummies. After they were prepared and wrapped, they were put in a tomb, and lots of food was buried with them.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, now you know what. I reckon it ain't so bad being dead if you still got your appetite.
Yeah. Well, it was merely a custom. Now, do you feel that you know a little more about that bandaged man?
Oh, sure. I know him real well now. We'll have lots to talk about as soon as he can have visitors. Oh, yeah.
How can you be so stupid?
Well, who cares? As long as it gets results, I don't care.
Now, there's June waiting on the steps of the museum, but no sign of Charlie. I might have known he'd be late. Here I am, June. Have you been here long?
No, I just got here, Edgar.
Oh, did you have any trouble finding the museum?
Day-day-day.
Sure. Just got through with him, June.
I think Charlie went in ahead of us.
Well, why did he go in ahead?
Well, the doorman said a little boy asked him where he could find the statue of Lady Godiva.
That's Charlie. That's my boy. Well, let's go in and find him. I wonder which way it is to the armor room.
Hello, friends. Hello. Francis. Hello. I'm Ursel Twing, friends. Simmer down. I'm your friendly museum guide.
How do you do?
How do you do? Thank you.
How do you do?
My motto, please. My motto is tour it with a smile if the tip is worthwhile.
We're interested in the armor the knights used to wear. Could you show us through that room?
Well, I could, but heavens to Elizabeth, it's way over on the other side.
So?
Would you rather stay here and kind of look at our exhibit of old bones?
No, I don't.
Well, they're just chock full of interest and calcium.
Why don't you take us to the armor room?
Well, mainly because my feet hurt.
What? Bad feet?
No, not. I've got good feet. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I forgot to bring my corn plasters today, though I don't know why. I usually keep some on hand.
Oh, on hand? On hand,
I... Well, not exactly on hand either, but I usually keep them on my feet.
We're only interested in the armor.
Well, please, won't you please look at my bones instead, Fram? See those, the huge prehistoric ones over there?
Yeah.
Looky. One bone is over 15 feet long. An explorer dug it up.
My goodness. Think of the size of the prehistoric dog that buried it.
You're awful cute. I just knew that you folks would enjoy my lecture on bones once I got my teeth into it.
Are you an authority on such things?
Authority? Am I an authority? For heaven's sake, I'll have you know that I've got brains. I'm not just a pretty face. That's...
That is very true. Very true.
What you said about prehistoric times was very interesting. Do you know much about the lost races?
Do I know? Oh, my... Last season, I didn't win a single race at Santa Anita.
Is there any chance that you might condescend to show us the armor room?
Now, don't be in such a hurly-burly, Curly.
Yes.
I'll be just happy, very happy to take you there if you'll carry me piggyback.
Fine guy, you are too weak to walk.
But no. You think I'm a weakling just because my feet hurt, you're sadly mistaken.
All right, so I made a mistake.
Yes, you made a mistake, and not only that, but you pulled a terrible, if you'll pardon the expression, bloomer.
Oh, is it?
I'm sure you're very strong, but we did come here to see the armor.
Well, why must you always rush and hurry around and make everybody nervous? You can go right across the hall to the American Indian room and see Standing Bull.
Isn't that Sitting Bull?
No, the floors over there are so cold.
Come on, June. We'll find the armor room ourselves.
All right, go on. I didn't like your attitude in the first place. Just got me in such a snit anyway that if I was not 100% American, I'd be seeing red. Go on. Goodbye, aye.
Let's see now. Oh, there's the armor room right across the corridor, June.
Oh, yes. And Charlie's waiting for us.
Hello, June. Oh, I always knew you were beautiful. But standing next to Bergen, you're positively gorgeous.
Well, thank you, Charlie. And you too, Edgar.
Yeah.
Just look at this medieval display.
Yes, isn't that an impressive armor, that suit there?
Oh, it's wonderful material. Sort of a galvanized gabardine. I wonder how they had their suits pressed in those days.
Yeah, I bet the laundries tore their bolts off the shirts.
Well, according to the legend of King Arthur, the noble knights performed many feats of derring do for their ladies fair. And from all over Britain, they came to Camelot to earn their seats at the round table.
His Majesty... King Arthur!
Greetings, brave knights. Take thy seats at the round table. Sir Lancelot, methinks thou dost look handsome in thy new suit of armor.
Thanks, your majesty. I have with a new tailor, Sir Henry of Ford.
Oh, yes. I've heard his slogan, watch the pants go by. Thy suit looketh a bit rusty, methinks it needs a lube jot.
Yeah. Tonight I shall go out and get oiled.
Lancelot, really, thou must mend thy ways. It looketh bad for a knight at the round table to spend all his nights at the pool table.
No.
Oh, I said it was a jest, methinks.
I'll certainly do it. What is this going on
here? Huck, what cometh near, my good Merlin?
Sire, a group of strolling players approaches.
Oh, that is to say, Owen. How now, good players? What cooketh?
Hello, gentlemen. I hope you blokes are in the mood for some games and music. Blimey, I really hope so.
Zounds, thou art a comely tomato. What hast thou in yon basket?
Coconuts, your highness. They're part of the game. Special they are, and only a penny a pitch. Would you like to hear more about it, gentlemen?
Aye, tell us more, me lass.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in a row. Big one, small one, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what a showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Everyone you throw will make you rich. There stands me wife, the idol of me life. A sing and roll a bell, a ball, a penny a pitch. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny a pitch.
A roll a bowl.
Sing roll a bowl, a ball, a penny a pitch.
A roll a bowl, a bowl, a
roll a bowl, a ball. A roll a bowl, a ball. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny a pitch.
Why don't you roll a bowl, a bowl, a bowl, a ball? Roll a bowl, a roll a bowl, a ball. A penny a pitch, a penny a pitch, a penny a roll a ball. Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny a pitch to roll a ball.
Got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Nuts, nuts, nuts.
There they are, standing in a row.
Roll, 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 roll.
Big one, small one, some as big as your head.
Wow.
Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what a showman said. No, got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Here you are, my lucky lad. Plenty of shy. Now then, lady, you try your luck.
My good man, how much do you require for one coconut?
One copper, lady. 1/6 of a tenner.
Oh, how terribly, terribly vulgar.
Plenty of shy. What about you, dearie?
Well, can me little boy have a free throw?
Free throw? Knock it, knock it. No free throws around here. Here, young'un, where's your penny?
I swallowed it.
Well, you ought to be more careful. Ain't you never heard of Lend-Lease?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in the row.
Big one, small one, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the showman said.
Oh, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me nuts.
Me husband's over there. The order of the fair. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bitch.
A bitch, a bitch.
Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bitch. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bitch. Roll a bowl, a ball, roll a bowl, a ball. Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a bitch.
Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny.
A lovely bunch of coconuts.
Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny.
A lovely bunch of coconuts.
Roll a bowl, a ball, a penny.
Nah.
Oh, go now.
Splendid. Splendid. Here, my lass. Here is a gold coin for thee.
Nay, nay, your majesty. Tis not gold I seek, but aid from yon noble knights.
Well, buckle my doublet and rivet me breeches. Yon ragged wench talks like a lady.
I am Princess June. My sister May has been held prisoner since last February by the Black Knight, Sir August.
Looks like Sir August stole a march on us. Methinks I sound like Sir Milton of Burl.
It was to escape it from the clutches of the Black Knight that I disguised myself in this cheap $500 copy of an Adrian dress.
Well, verily, thou art a lovely vision withal. I, Sir Lancelot, bow low before thee. Oh, methinks I bowed a little too low.
You should be careful, Lancelot. You've dented your pants a lot.
Fear not, my princess. I shall go forth and rescue thy sister from the cowardly Black Knight.
Wait. Before thou takest thy leave, thou must consult the royal wizard. Merlin!
Where's you? Oh, yes.
What sayest thou? Perform thy magic.
Oh, yes, your majesty. Take us our card from this deck. Any card. Tell us me not what it is.
No, Merlin, no. Lookest thou into the future, that we may know the perils that await Sir Lancelot.
Oh. Abracadabra. Hocus, hocus. Presto, change your metro.
Get to the trick.
Sir Lancelot, I see you and the princess coming to a wide river. Hocus pocus. I see a river too deep to ford, too perilous to swim. And you have no boats.
Then how do we get across?
You use the bridge.
This guy doesn't know his hocus from his
pocus. Now you meet a giant and tilt with him in the darkness.
That's impossible. When I tilt, I always light up. Come, my princess. We will saddle my noble steed and hie us hence.
Good. We will need it an early start because hence is 20 miles away. Sir Lancelot, this rod getteth uncomfortable. Methinks our steeds grow weary.
Thou art so right, princess. I will trade them in for fresh ones.
Whereeth?
Oh, thereeth, Madman Merlin's used horse lot.
Merlin? I thought if he was a magician.
Aye, he was, but things have been roughest on magicians since Vaudeville died.
Welcome, Sir Lancelot and damsel fair. May I help with thee?
Forsooth, we wanted a horse.
For eating or for riding?
Forsooth.
Odds bodikins, I have just the thing for thee. This horse over here is practically brand new. He hath very low mileage.
Oh, he's not bad, Sir Lancelot. Look at those white sidewall feet.
He was owned by an old lady in Pasadena.
Well,
just used him to go shopping. He was up with on blocks for 6 months.
Is he four-gated?
No, four-legged, one in each corner. Verily, he is a bargain and can be financed through the Bank of Camelot.
And pay a 12% interest? Nay, Violet, I will give us the cash.
What about accessories? Teeth are extra, you know.
He needeth not teeth. All he eats is hay, and he can gum that.
Yes. Here is the money, madman. Come, princess. We must get to the Black Knight and headeth for the blackout.
We are nearing the castle where my sister is imprisoned. Look, here cometh the Black Knight. Loose thy lance and lance lunge.
Fear not, my beloved. I shall cut through his armor with ease. For on the end of my lance, I have a can opener. On guard, Varlet. Cometh to joust with thee, I do.
Oh, splendid Sir Lancelot. You have unseated the Black Knight.
And now pull back his visor and looketh upon his evil face. Who is it?
Greetings, Freya.
Oh. But in the future, friends, will you please knock before you come in?
Foul villain, what hast thou to say before I cut it off thy head?
Goodbye, aye.
Lancelot, my darling. Now that thou hast conquered the Black Knight, I will love thee forevermore. Put thy armor around me.
Oh, my fair one, nothing but nothing can cometh between us.
Don't be too sureth about that, huh?
Art thou a messenger from Camelot?
No, Miss Allison, I'm a messenger from your movie lot. You got a 6 o'clock call in the morning.
Oh, no.
Good night, princess.
Good night, knight.
Just a word of thanks to June Allison for appearing with us tonight. I guess next week will be the cowboy king of radio and television, Hopalong Cassidy. Good night, everybody.
June Allison appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Adam's Rib, starring Spencer Tracy, Katherine Hepburn, and June Holliday. To Bill Baldwin speaking from the famous Pasadena Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening. I hope you'll be with me next week, when I'll uncover more gems from the golden age of radio. Thanks to Joel Schoenwell and Paul Stringer for technical support. The executive producer for Theater of the Mind is Moses Neimer. I'm Frank Proctor. Have a wonderful weekend.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.